Inside the Courtroom, as the airlines challenge New York's Passenger Bill of Rights. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai. She is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We talk to Kate fairly frequently. We try to get in touch with her at least about once a month or so because there's a lot happening on this story, and Kate's right at the very front of it. Kate, thanks very much for joining us, and you've had quite the road trip.
Yes, well, thanks for having me, Paul, and I certainly have had quite the road trip. It's been a whirlwind.
Well, you had kind of your initiation into how things work in appeals courts.
Yes.
We know that back toward the end of December, the New York State Passengers' Rights Law affecting people on stranded airliners was upheld in its first court challenge. The airlines appealed, the ATA appealed, and got an expedited hearing, and that happened a couple of days ago. So tell us how that went. You were in the courtroom.
Well, and to back up just a second, you know, it wasn't just, you know, there was an appeal done, and the first judge threw it out on its basic merits and said, New York has the right to protect the health and safety of its people. And after 3 hours on an airliner without water or usable toilets or food or breathable air, that's when they were saying it was okay for New York to step in and take care of people. This was very different, what happened yesterday.
All right. Well, in the first hearing, essentially what it came down to was a rational decision that once it gets to the point where you're holding prisoners in an aluminum tube with sewage flowing down the aisle, this is no longer under the purview of airline services, unquote.
That's right. That's right. That's not what we bargained for when we bought the ticket. No, what we bargained for was that actually we thought we'd get off the ground. Mm-hmm. But in this case, we're not going anywhere. So the way we viewed it, we were not, we should not have been under the purview of Roe because this was not interstate commerce. Clearly, we're not going anywhere. We're sitting on the ground. We're at the airplane's mercy. We can't get out or it's a federal offense. And we can't do anything. We can't eat. We can't drink. In many cases, you can't even get out of your seat. The toilets are overflowing in many cases, and sometimes they turn the electricity off, and it's 120 degrees in the aircraft. Mm-hmm. So, in sitting in this courtroom, I almost had heart failure. And that's because, not because they closed the doors and made it 120 degrees in the courtroom, mm-hmm. but because one of the female judges said, well, what about wine? And what about trans fats in the food that might be served? And then another judge said, well, what if these were puddle jumper planes that didn't have toilets? And it had been 5 or 6 hours and people needed to go to the bathroom. Would they have to be turned around and taken back to the terminal? And then another judge said, we're not bad people with black robes. We're just trying to get to the bottom of the legality of whether or not New York really had the right to do this or not. I was absolutely shocked at the complete, I would call it callous disregard again for airline passengers. I felt that these judges had a great deal of respect for Waxman, who was the very high-powered attorney hired by the ATA to defend them and to hopefully overturn this case on appeal. Mm-hmm. And then the attorney that Cuomo brought in to defend airline passengers clearly was not prepared to argue this case.
And is a former assistant of Waxman, so she should have known what she was going to be up against.
Boy, I would guess so. I just found that out today by reading this, that she's a former assistant of his, and she was asked very direct questions by the judge. The judge, one of the judges even was leading her to the possible answer that could have saved the case, which was because the Roe case talked about health, not safety. Had she said these are safety issues, it's quite possible that this would not be overturned. Now, it hasn't been overturned yet, but I'm thinking it will be.
Well, now, let's back up for just a second. You've cited a couple of times this Roe case. I don't think we've ever talked about that before with our listeners. What was the Roe case?
The Roe case was a Maine versus New Hampshire tobacco case, and it had to do with interstate commerce. It had to do with that tobacco was being taken from one state to another, and so it was traveling. Tobacco was traveling, and then ended up being marketed to young people, to minors. And so basically what Maine versus Tobacco, Maine tried to say, look, we don't want tobacco marketed to minors. And so it became an interstate commerce case instead of we don't want tobacco marketed to minors.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of preemption, because the only way that they could win it was by saying, well, the tobacco's brought in over state lines. Therefore, it's an interstate commerce case, and therefore, we can use a whole different method of winning this case, basically, is what happened. And so Roe then became the precedent for this case, saying that, okay, Maine doesn't like to have cigarettes marketed to their youth. New York doesn't like it when airlines trap people on the tarmac. However, those airlines eventually do travel somewhere over state lines.
Right.
So they were able to use the interstate commerce case of Maine versus New Hampshire in order to fight this. And that was just settled, I think, last week, the Roe case was. So that is the case that they used as precedent in order to try to overturn the New York case.
I still think
it's a bogus case to use for this argument because the planes aren't going anywhere in the case of what we're talking
about. Okay, to boil it down, though, I can understand why they would approach it from that standpoint. And frankly, if the DOT would take action on this and provide a uniform federal law, tell me if I'm wrong, but you'd be thrilled.
I'd be thrilled. However, the DOT has an ANPRM that actually has no enforceable essential needs in it and no deployment in it that's enforceable. And Barbara Boxer and Olympia Snow brought that up at the Sturgill confirmation hearing, and they said they were going to talk to Mary Peters about that. And I don't know if that conversation has happened yet or not, but clearly the DOT is not on our side either.
Well,
they're not helping us.
We're talking with Kate Hanai, the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. And we're kind of, frankly, rushing through some commentary from the court case in New York, where a New York law that would establish some basic passenger rights and strandings is being challenged by the Air Transport Association, has been thrown out once in December on appeal, and is in its second appeal now. And Kate, if I understand correctly the current status, the appeal has been heard, and we're just going through a few days of waiting while the judges render a decision.
That's correct. It could be days or months before they render a decision. But what we do believe is that what Michael Generis, Assemblyman Generis, asked, we had a very large press conference. The press was very interested in this case, even though it was the day after the primary. He said, I hope that if this case is overturned, that we end up in the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Because we really should be in the Supreme Court with this. This needs to be decided, and it needs to be decided that people matter. We matter as human beings. Apparently, that has been forgotten. I can't believe that prisoners of war, per the Geneva Convention, and by the way, I read the entire Geneva Convention this last week just to make sure that I was right. We have less rights than prisoners of war on every level once the door to the plane shuts.
Wow. Well, maybe we just all have to become signatories to the Geneva Convention, and then we could get some headway on this thing.
Maybe so.
We're talking with Kate Hanai. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888 888- 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and I'm talking with Kate Hanai, the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. Kate, where do we go from here? I know a lot of other states are considering laws on their own to regulate passenger rights in stranding situations. Are they being scared away by the idea that federal preemption might be squashing the New York law, or are they moving forward with their own laws?
Well, here, I do believe that there are going to be some states that are going to be very concerned about it. I think what they need is our guidance. We have some brilliant attorneys, aviation attorneys, that work with us. We have some of the most brilliant attorneys in the U.S. that are actually donating their time for the coalition to try to get these passenger rights laws through. And one of them is a preemption attorney. He worked for the Association of Travel Agents for 25 years, and he's just absolutely brilliant. In fact, he wrote the first amicus brief for the first hearing that we won. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a couple of things. We're going to present a new possible law to different states that we've been working with already and say, here's what we believe we can do now. And that we do believe that this will not be preempted, and we believe we can show that pretty simply and see if they're game for that. Our second strategy is that we've got Barbara Boxer's office working on Rockefeller and working on Inouye to see if we can't move passenger rights forward federally.
And that would be starting in the Senate?
That would be starting in the Senate because we're done with the House.
Right.
All we need right now is in the Senate. We need to get the passenger rights legislation moved up through. Maybe there's some negotiation that needs to happen with Rockefeller on user fees. I don't know. But something needs to be done, and it needs to be done fast, because I know that it's not going to get any better for airline passengers. It's going to be getting worse. And the airlines have guaranteed that it will. They've said capacity is going to be tight. You know, there's going to be thunderstorms, and actually, quite frankly, the thunderstorms from this last year were worse for strandings than the winter was.
I wish you luck. It's an interesting story to follow because I think a lot of people can put themselves, you know, close your eyes and put yourself in that situation where you thought you were going to your daughter's wedding, but all of a sudden you've been on the ground for 9 hours and you're in this horrendous circumstance and you have really no recourse. So
yes.
I think a lot of people are pulling for you. And Kate, if nothing else, we want to make sure we stay in touch with you to see how this goes.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I love you. I think you guys are great, and I think you do a great job. And anytime you need to talk to me or find out an update, just let me know.
What I do want to do, Kate, is talk to you again very soon about your report card that you issued on the airlines back on February 14th, because it received a spurt of coverage, but not much detail.
Why don't you call me in a couple days?
We'll talk
about that. Absolutely.
All right. Kate Hanai is the founder and executive director of the Airline Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. You can find the organization on the web at www.flyersrights.org. And it's flyers spelled F-L-Y-E-R-S, rights.org.
That's it.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero, that's A-E-R-O-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.